Stein Online's live Clubland Q&A is just 1 minute away.
This is Mark Stein, back after four sellout voyages for the fifth annual Mark Stein Cruise. If you like the sound of April in Portugal and Spain on the fabulous new ship, the Celebrity Apex, well, you'll be at the apex of celebrity for our traditional week of sun, sea, and civilizational collapse. I'll have special guests from both sides of the Atlantic, including a reunion of all your favourite telly presenters from the glory days of GB News, who've since been sacked. And we'll do all the things you like about the Mark Stein Show and Stein Online, but close up and on water. More details at steinonline.com or marksteincruise.com.
The Stein Online Clubland Q&A begins right now. Here's Mark.
Hey, welcome along. January 22nd, 2025. It is 3 p.m. North American Eastern Time on day three of the new era. 4 p.m. in the beautiful Canadian Maritimes, 4:30 p.m. in fabulous Newfoundland and beyond the Americas, 8 p.m. in London, where His Majesty's government is blaming the slaughter of three little girls on Amazon.com. 9 p.m. in Aschaffenburg, Bavaria, where a man and a two-year-old boy have been stabbed to death by an Afghan. Did he also buy the knife from Amazon? 10 p.m. in... I'm not even going to try it. Kiev. 10 p.m. in Kiev, where Ukrainians are celebrating their National Day of Unity. Good luck with that. 11 p.m. in Moscow, 11:30 p.m. in Tehran, for all you Newfoundlanders who moved to Iran out of solidarity with the half-hour time zone. 1:45 in Kathmandu, for all you Iranians who moved to Nepal to check out the quarter-hour time zone. 4 a.m. in Singapore and Honkers. 7 a.m. in Sydney and Melbourne, which is not a terribly civilised hour for the kippers and kedgeree. 9 a.m. in Auckland, and even later in His Majesty's dominions across the Pacific. As I said, it's the Ukrainian Day of Unity. Marks the one, I'm sure Nikki Haley knows the answer to this, and Lindsey Graham too. It marks the 106th anniversary of January 22nd, 1919, when representatives of the Ukrainian People's Republic and the West Ukrainian People's Republic came together in St. Sophia's Square in Kiev to create just one People's Republic. If you look at the map today, it's getting to look a bit like early 1919 again. Okay, I'm in rather a good mood because I've enjoyed the last couple of days. Trump hit the ground running and he has done major things, but a lot of the minor things he's done are very enjoyable too, like ending the security detail for John Bolton. What was John Bolton? Was he National Security Advisor or something for like 18... did he make a year? I was going to say 18 months, but I'm not sure he lasted a year. And as Trump pointed out, just because you do some job for 18 months doesn't mean you should get permanent Secret Service protection for the rest of your life, particularly when you can afford to hire your own bodyguards. But one also notes that the Secret Service, the deep state's entire position on why Trump got shot at and then some other guy tried to shoot him 20 minutes later in a different state, is that, oh, they've had a few manpower problems. Yeah, they put in a request for more manpower, but it was denied. They couldn't get any manpower. Bobby Kennedy couldn't get any manpower at all, even though his father and his uncle have taken bullets for their country. But John Bolton... oh, no problems with manpower there. So I'm in a good mood. I've enjoyed watching. I think it's good actually for the guy to one of the things I always liked about Tucker is if some guy at CNN had dissed him in 1998. Tucker would always be ready to get that guy, no matter how many decades roll by. And I think it's quite good. I think revenge is quite a good motivation. So I'm in rather a good mood about all that. Let's get to your questions. Toby Pilling says, German police remain baffled as they search for the motive of an Afghan asylum seeker who murdered two people. Yes, this was in a park. I mentioned it just now. A two-year-old boy, and I think the guy is 41 years old. They're just going for a walk in the park, right? And they're dead at the hands of an Afghan, quote, asylum seeker. The asylum, and we're now being told it's mental health. Funnily enough, all these asylum seekers are really in need of being banged up in an asylum. They've got mental health issues. And the police are completely baffled by the motive. Okay, my good mood is rapidly dissipating. It's immigration. It's immigration in America. It's immigration in Canada. It's immigration in the United Kingdom. It's immigration in Ireland, where a century of Irish nationalism has been a complete waste of time because differences between loyalists and Republicans, Protestants and Catholics are as nothing if you're just going to hand over the whole state to barbarians. So it's immigration in Ireland, it's immigration in France, it's immigration in Germany, it's immigration in your country here. These countries won't be around. People were not meant to live like this. These are no longer Westphalian nation states. They are becoming tribal crap holes. Why should a two-year-old boy be unable to be in a German park without being stabbed? And now we have the idiocy, which I touched on earlier. The Home Secretary in the United Kingdom is... because they're trying... these three little girls didn't need to die. This guy who killed them, who they had this beatific saintly schoolboy portrait of, until just recently, where now there's these pictures of him looking like the monster that he is. But he'd been referred to the authorities multiple times. And the program that they call Prevent, he was referred to Prevent multiple times. It's a joke, this program. But they don't want you to draw any obvious conclusions. In fact, in Keir Starmer's Evil Britain, they put you in jail for drawing the obvious conclusions. They kill you, like Keir Starmer killed poor Peter Lynch. And I'm sure the evil Keir Starmer sleeps well at night for killing poor Peter Lynch. He doesn't give a crap about him. He's such a bland, boring figure, and yet he is... he's a totalitarian. He's a thug. He's a monster. He's got blood on his hands in the way that the deep staters are, even as they're, putting septuagenarians through another night in jail by sitting on Trump's pardons. So basically, federal marshals have to threaten the Bureau of Prisons in order to get the guys sprung from jail. Nations would never have arisen if they had tried to create at the dawn of the nation-state, which is what in parts of the world replaced tribalism. You know, the old rap on colonialism was that the European powers had divided up the continent of Africa by just drawing lines on a map and taking no account of, you know, that this was one fractious tribe and you've just put him in the same country as the tribe that he absolutely loathes. People understood tribalism when they were talking about the artificiality of these African countries. But parts of the world moved beyond tribalism, and they would never have done so if the people running Western societies for the last couple of generations had been in charge back then. Nations were not meant to live like this. It's all immigration. You know, the guy, I wrote about this a couple of days ago because it happens to be my part of the world, and I happen to have been detained by a border patrol agent on the exact same deserted stretch of highway a couple of years ago. In this case, it didn't work out well for the border patrol agent because he's dead, because he was shot. Was he shot by one of these crazy illegal immigrants? No, he was shot by an H-1B border guy. You know, and I saw some people on... some guy on the internet said, you see, this guy came over the Canadian border. We shouldn't be letting anybody, because they're thinking, ha, 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 I can make a sophisticated argument now. It's not the Mexican border. This guy came across the Canadian border. We shouldn't be letting anybody across the Canadian border, especially that Mark Stein guy. Yeah. Well, you know what? As I said to, I'm so bored by having said everything 20 years ago. It's not good. And I'm probably in my death throes because you can't really... People like to feel that, you know, the insight you make is brand new. But I told some woman, I was on C-SPAN 20 years ago, and some woman called up on the liberal line or the Democrat line or whatever the hell it's called, and thought she was making a good point by saying, well, I'm so, that Mr. Stein is so anti-immigration, I just think he should get deported then because he's an immigrant. Yeah, I'd be in favour of that. I'd be in favour if the United States took its immigration law seriously enough to deport me. I'd be impressed. Right? I don't think non-Americans have a right. Unlike this liberal lady on C-SPAN, I don't think that all 8 billion people on the planet should have the right to come here and add some vibrant diversity. I would be happy if there was a knock on the door and I got deported. I'd be impressed by that. Because I think America should be full of Americans, and I think Canada should be full of Canadians, and I think Ireland should be full of the Irish, and Denmark full of the Danish, and instead they're all full of Somalis and Afghans, and how many two-year-old boys are you willing to sacrifice on the altar of multiculturalism? People should be ashamed they're even talking. They're still this. Now we're told, oh, it's this problem of Amazon selling knives. So we'll call Jeff Bezos in and we'll get him to stop selling knives on Amazon. It's stupid, all this. It's going to take. I listened to Olaf Scholz from Davos the other day, the German Chancellor, for a couple more weeks. And Scholz says, you know, Elon Musk were to ask me, Elon, if you're listening, don't waste your time talking to Olaf Scholz. He's yesterday's man already. But he said, I would explain to him that, yes, we have free speech in Europe, but that free speech does not include far-right extremism. So you have free speech in Europe as long as you agree with the wankers who have enabled hitherto peaceable countries to be lands where two-year-old boys playing in the park get stabbed by Afghan. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of reading about stabbed children as if it's a normal feature of life, because it wasn't until the Olaf Scholzes of the world decided, and this whoever the woman is who's Home Secretary in Keir Starmer's ministry, it wasn't a normal feature of life until you guys decided to make it a normal feature of life. And they won't even let you talk about it now. They'll throw you in jail. And they'll let you die in jail like evil Keir Starmer does. And it's not going to change until one day Keir Starmer or Olaf Scholz goes for a walk in the park and some nice Afghan or Somali stabs them. And then we're told, oh, well, he wouldn't be stabbing prime ministers if Jeff Bezos wasn't selling knives on Amazon. It's only going to be when, it's interesting, the California wildfires in this respect, because suddenly, you know, stump-toothed hicks in the middle of nowhere who get devastated by a hurricane, the evil deep state, we're not going to call on any houses that appear to have Trump signs there, you know, they're screwed. But when it's all these people in Hollywood, Pacific Palisades, when their homes get destroyed, then suddenly it's a story. And that tells you something. It's all class in the end. You know, I see things, even guys who aren't by any measure celebrities, like this guy, whatever he's called, the guy who according to his nanny, likes assaulting women and making them eat. When he makes them vomit, he then makes them eat their own vomit. And this guy gets more coverage, you know, than his nanny gets the news coverage that thousands of English working class girls can't get, because that's far right too. So there's a lot of class stuff here. So it's until the actual ruling class start getting stabbed in the park, there's not going to be. But it is interesting. In the German context, you know, this is an election campaign, and we've just had a classic illustration of why. And I've moved way beyond, you know, when I wrote America Alone, you could pull up the drawbridge then, just say from this day forth, we're ending all immigration. You could have done that. Now it's going to take. Which, according to Tace, is either deportation or re-migration. Because otherwise, and people, reasonable people don't like this. The nice people, the women d'un certain âge who listen to NPR. You know, think about what Muslim society you'd like to live in if you're European. Which would be the attractive model of a Muslim society? They're not all Sudan, Somalia, Afghanistan. Could be living in Syria. But think about which one of them. There's 58 of them or something. And come up with a Muslim society you would like tomorrow's Germany to be like. And if you'd rather they weren't like any kind of Muslim society, then get off your flabby ass and start doing something about it. And likewise, if you're in the United States and you've got MS-13 gangs operating, what's that road? The Catatonic State Parkway? The Taconic State Parkway, upstate New York. You know, the southern border goes all the way up to like 3 miles south of the Quebec border. So you pick which Latin American banana republic you would like your state to be like if you're in New York or California or whatever. You got to get serious, because the thing is, demography is remorseless. Absolutely. It's all about demography. Everything's about, you know, are you one of those Irish nitwit Republican IRA supporters sitting in some stupid Boston pub singing 19th century rebel songs every night? You know, it's demography there too. Sir Edward Carson, who, Phelim McAleer, who many of you will know because he did such excellent coverage of my trial in DC. Phelim and I often talk. Phelim rightly credits Sir Edward as the inventor of Northern Ireland. He's the one, you know, Irish Republicans say, why do people say it's Ulster? It's not Ulster because there's three other counties in Ulster that aren't in Northern Ireland. Yeah, Edward Carson decided that because demographically they were too far gone and he felt the loyalists, the unionists, couldn't hold the line there. And he was quite right about that. Demography is everything. Who you are is what you are. You know, so if you think anybody, if you think you can import on the scale that Joe Biden did into the United States, and anyone's going to be interested in hearing the wanker cons bleating about the Constitution when you've got when 87% of America are graduates of the MS-13 youth program, midnight basketball program. Okay, I'm cranky now. I was in a good mood. Peter says, Mark, the daily mass diversity stabbing, this time in Germany, where an Afghan murdered a 2-year-old and an adult, is a feature of European life, it seems. How is it that the left still has so much support in Europe? It must be clear to everyone that their civilization is swirling down the toilet, and yet it continues undisturbed. Are we witnessing a collective suicide, or is it something else? People, you're trying to get people who are invested in an idea to admit that they've made a mistake. And that's one of the hardest things to do. That's absolutely one to admit that you're a sap and a sucker and a rube who got played. And we see this, for example, in today's COVID coverage. If you look at the business of the vaccines, which they're currently investigating, and all the smug pillocks of the British state, from Hugo Keith KC, the barrister for the inquiry, to that wanker baroness who's running. I know that doesn't narrow it down very much, only narrows it down to whatever it is, 500,000 wanker baronesses. But you're trying to get people. You saw it with Trump, actually, because Trump, who just fought a brilliant and beautiful election, as he would say, like that phone call to Ukraine, brilliant and beautiful election campaign. One of the hardest things for him to do, and he'll tell you this himself, is giving up on Operation Warp Speed. And it was only the reality was that the anti-vaccine crowd correlates almost perfectly with the pro-Trump crowd. But he'd still keep boasting about how he did Operation Warp Speed and he created these fabulous vaccines. It was only when actually he noticed at the rally that people were actually booing him when he mentioned that he stopped mentioning it. People, it's very difficult to get people to admit that they... So what you're asking people to do, diversity is our strength. Yes, celebrate the vibrancy of our diversity, no matter how many 2-year-old boys get killed. You're asking people to admit that the bollocks of the last half century is bollocks. Which it is. It wouldn't have happened. In a world where people knew any history... And the people who love diversity, by the way, also love Ukraine, where at periodic times over the last century, they've decided they've got a bit more diversity than they can handle, and they've gotten rid of it. And it, actually, if you go to, as I said, when I was in Ukraine, I didn't meet any non-Ukrainians except for one Moldovan, delightful, charming Moldovan Slav bird who happened to be sitting on the next bar stool one night, whom I got into conversation with. So apart from a bit of Moldovan totty, and for you old school types, that would be Bessarabian totty. But these are completely non-diverse places. And And it's the hardest thing in the, when people are invested in a delusion, it's, and it was always a delusion. It's much, I mean, anybody, I'm a 19th century imperialist. So I know that when they moved, the British moved Indian. The British liked Indians as their middle class. They liked them as their bureaucrats and as their shopkeepers and so forth. So all over the map, they'd move large numbers of Indians to places. They did in Fiji. And eventually the Indians were demographically, it's all demography, surging enough to win whatever it was, the 1987 election, I think it was. And at that point, when the Indians had outvoted the native Fijians, then there was a coup. I love Fiji. And I'm delighted by, I've enjoyed the company of almost every Fijian I met. But you cannot, if you know anything, you know nations are not meant to live like this. But the hardest thing is trying to get people to give up on a delusion. You know, you look at France. France is, oh, someone was stabbed there. Someone was stabbed here. Oh, there's a school teacher beheaded there. Oh, there's another school teacher been killed here. There's a Catholic priest been beheaded there. Oh, some more kids stabbed here. Oh, now it's the Olympic Games opening ceremony. So let's celebrate diversity. Are you idiots? Are all of you Frenchies brain dead? So there's the news that happens 364 days of the year, and then there's the mass delusion of the Olympic opening ceremony. Pardon me, I'm getting too excited. It's immigration. Immigration is the priority in America. It's not. It's the priority in the United Kingdom, but you can't say it. You've got to pretend that it's Amazon. Amazon selling knives, a kitchen utensil, as we used to think of it. It's Amazon. Amazon is the problem. They've got a problem with Amazon. Jeff Bezos is going to have to be called in on the carpet at number 10 and told to stop selling knives. No, no. You're killing our countries, every one of them. You're killing France. You're killing Ireland. You're killing Canada. You're killing America. It's immigration. Immigration change. Oh, my kid's 37 and he can't find an affordable one-room flat. Oh, why do you think that is? Huh? Oh, I went to emergency at the hospital the other day and they said, good news, it's only a 72-hour wait to see a doctor. Oh, I wonder why that is. It's everything, immigration. Doug Cole says... Hi, Mark. So many. I'm sorry, I was in a good mood. Hi, Mark. So many things happening seemingly all at once here in the States. It is hard to figure out which one to gloat about first. I'm glad the media showed the Butch Bishop. Yeah, this Butch Bishop, I'm not sure whether it's a he or a she or a non-binary, a multi-binary, whatever. But this bishop is, what's his name? Alistair Campbell, Tony Blair's idiot sidekick, thinks this is the, you know, this is the greatest bishop in the history of bishops, who doing all her thing about transgender kids. You know, all transgender kids are now living in fear because Trump's the president. While Trump and J.D. Vance and the rest of the gang all sitting there. If you haven't seen this, it's remarkable. It isn't actually really funny because there's no such thing as a transgender kid. You may think there is, and a confused 8-year-old boy or 11-year-old girl might think there is. But what it boils down to is you, the bishop, supporting slicing off the breasts of middle school girls. So that makes you, the bishop, a tool of Satan. So you should be on a roasting spit in hell for promoting that. You know, I've always been fairly consistent on this. I don't think, unless, if you're not in showbiz, so it's one thing if you go to some rather louche cabaret and you notice that you know, the 12 stunning showgirls are all amazingly tall. And now you look a bit closer, I seem to have pronounced Adam's apples or whatever. Other than that, it's generally a disaster for everyone who goes into it. And so to encourage it to become mass, as this evil bishop does, this bishop who should be on a roasting spit in hell, no one, if J.D. Vance becomes president in whatever it is, 2029, he should no way attend a national prayer breakfast at this crappy, what's it called, the National Cathedral. The Episcopal Church is a post-Christian church, you know. Everything, and it's not even good. It's not as if they're even on the cutting edge of insanity. They're just playing catch-up insanity for whatever they think will work. You know, oh, climate change. Maybe if we start worshipping Gaia instead of God, maybe we'll get some of the climate crowd. Oh, well, that didn't work for us, so let's go with the old slicing the breasts off middle school girls. Because now you are your own God. There's no big God in the sky anymore. You, right here down on Earth, starting from the age of 11, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, you are the God. You are the God. Man... God may think he's created you male or female, but that's just what you're assigned at birth, as they now say. This woman is evil, and I certainly wouldn't want to sit through anything in that bloody awful from that bloody awful National Cathedral. I would be in favour if Trump, as an ex-McDonald's employee, decided he needed to turn that into the world's biggest McDonald's. The Butch Bishop, I never got to the end of Doug Cole's letter. Doug Cole said the Butch Bishop scolding the new president. It's a perfect display of how far off the rails the Episcopal Church has departed from what the Bible actually says. Starting with Butch Bishop's, and then working back to basic Ten Commandments stuff. If it wasn't so pathetic, it would be laughable. And actually, if you haven't yet heard our current tale for our time, Lord of the World, that's what it's about. We've had a bit of back and forth because Robert Hugh Benson, the author, was an ex-Anglican, son of the Archbishop of Canterbury, who converted to Catholicism. And one of the things he says in his book, written in 1907, is that a century hence, Protestantism, by which he means the mainline churches, the Episcopal Church, the Church of England, in America, the Congregational Church, which is open and affirming, the Lutheran Church, which has a transgender bishop who's now suing them for being transphobic. He said mainline Protestantism would have withered away, and it has it has its privileges, and it has its inherited wealth, and it has its buildings. But basically, these are all post-Christian churches. Are there any other particular edicts, says Doug, from our new president that are of interest to you? Well, Doug, as I said, it's all immigration. And so I think this end to birthright citizenship, which he talked about some of this stuff last time, but the idea that simply by being, you know, your plane can be delayed, and so you wind up, stuck in New York for a couple days later, and then you give birth 10 days prematurely because of all the stress of your flight being cancelled and whatever, that doesn't make the kid an American. The British version of jus soli, a right of soil, which is that where you're born determines your nationality. That's largely because Britain had a big global empire and its kings took it as read that wherever you were, whatever race you might be, whatever religion you might be, if you were born within His Majesty's dominions, you were subject of His Majesty. That theory never prevailed in the United States until whatever it was, 30 or 40 years ago, under the current interpretation of this 14th Amendment. In Europe, it was always jus sanguinis, right of blood, so that Turks in the old days could be in Germany for generations and they would not be considered German and they would not be in law German. These are facts. All the wanker know-nothings that you hear on MSNBC could look up facts occasionally. And as I pointed out, Ireland, after one anchor baby, tried to game the system. Not because the anchor baby wanted to live in Ireland, but because the anchor baby wanted to live in England under the the common travel area and all the post 1922 settlements. So Ireland changed basically from the British system to the European system. You can be born in a Dublin hospital, but unless one of your parents is a citizen of either Ireland or the United Kingdom, you're not Irish. And that's entirely reasonable. This idea that a country is just whoever happens to be standing around in the maternity ward at any one time is completely ridiculous. So I love that Trump is actually putting it on the table. I have no confidence that by the time it gets to the Supreme Court, that John Roberts and Amy Coney Barrett won't vote with the three lefties and total it. But it certainly ought to be on the table. Patrick Gagan says, hello, Mark. Hope the new year finds you well in some aspect. Now, as I said, I was doing great at the top of the show. And then, strangely enough, the dead kids bother me. Because I don't think a two-year-old should be stabbed in his... Because he was in the park... And Olaf Scholz, evil Olaf Scholz, the guy killing free speech in Germany, evil Olaf Scholz has admitted into Germany all these people anxious to kill two-year-old kids. Patrick continues, do you think that Trump losing the 2020 election has worked out a little better for Trump? It seems like he had 4 years to contemplate what he did wrong during his first 4 years. If he had won in 2020, he would have just went straight into his term without any thought of how he could govern against the Democrats. Yeah, I think it was good for him. Trump's campaign, when he came down that escalator in 2015, was brilliant. I said it was brilliant. And 3 weeks after he came down that escalator, and on Alan Combs' show, which would be, I think, in September, so that would be like 3 months after he came down that escalator, when all the conservative guys were still saying... Oh, you know, he's got a low ceiling and when he reaches it, the bubble will burst. And by the this is just a bit of fun before Iowa and New Hampshire. It's not important. I said to Alan, I said not only would he win the primary, but he would win the general election. The trouble was he got rolled on the policy front with people like appointing just terrible people. Who just pretended to be on board to maintain their own relevance. You know, John Bolton, to his credit, did it more convincingly for a while than most. But they basically were never on board with the Trump agenda, never. And then it was true. And then other people who had never been on board, in fact, were borderline never Trumpers, among the pundit class, this is, until, you know, whatever it was, 6 weeks before the election, suddenly decided, well, he's won. So to maintain their bottom line, they became rah-rah Trumpy guys. And by 2020, Trump was dining every night with people who were a complete waste of his time. And that year, 2020, was a disaster for Trump. I believe that election, the Democrats stole that election, but they wound up against the greatest re-election campaign anyone's ever seen. Now, he's returned to Washington with a, whether you like them or not, a much more interesting group of characters, such as Elon Musk, but also, you know, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., and you don't have to, he's going to be doing the Make America Healthy Again thing. And if you look up the full-length show that RFK and I did together, there's a point when he says, you know, Americans are the most medicated people in the world, and they're among the sickest people in the world. You know, if you look at the rates, particularly this thing about medicating children, I told him, did I tell him it was on that show or was it some other show? I forget which, but at one time, you know, my kid had a bad day at school, and so the school wanted to have him proclaimed, I don't know what it was, ADHD or whatever, or something like that. And some one of those things I'd never heard of and until I came to America. And they were going to medicate him, and they were going to, so the school psychologist was going to put him on this guy, because they get some payoff from the federal government or whatever it is for every kid who's marked whatever. And it affects the rest of your life. He wouldn't have been able to buy a gun, which is as basic an American right as anything. And I was down under in Australia, and I was absolutely staggered by this. I was ready to... I had an appointment with the Prime Minister in Canberra the next day, but I was ready to get on a flight, yank the kid out of school and drive the kid across the border to prevent this happening. And it was only when RFK Jr. put it in those terms. You know, nobody... The rates of chronic diseases that now afflict children are disgraceful. As RFK Jr. says, the most medicated people on earth and among the, certainly with the kids, among the sickest kids on earth. So I think this is a much more interesting group of people. And I think that these things aren't really, when you look at something like that, that shouldn't really be a left-right Democrat-Republican thing. It's only that the COVID madness made it such, because on the whole it was the right, with notable exceptions like RFK and Naomi Wolf, that resisted the madness. But that shouldn't actually be a left-right thing. So I think the four-year timeout, you know, it's interesting to me the people he isn't dining with at Mar-a-Lago four nights a week this time round. And he seems to have decided that he's got bigger things to do, because we shouldn't fool ourselves. This is the last chance. This is the last chance. So if these 4 years do not, and I don't just mean the usual center-right ratchet effect, whereby the left gets in and it does Obamacare and it does gay marriage and it does transgenderization of your children and all the other things, and then the right comes in and just sort of sits there but doesn't actually revert. I always said, I always compared the right when I used to be more prominent in American newspapers. I wrote a column once, said the Republicans are the equivalent of the first year boys at English boarding schools, where the prefects would pick some hapless little 13-year-old because the bathrooms were unheated. So they'd tell the 13-year-old to go and sit on the toilet seat and warm it up. And the prefect would then stroll in 10 minutes and take his appointed place. That's what the writer's largely been in American life, in British life, in Canadian life. They're the seat warmers. They sit there for 10 minutes warming the seat until the left is ready to resume its rightful place. Stein Online's Clubland Q&A. I forgot the name of the show. Live around the planet. Oh, here's the bit you've been waiting for. Here is, you like this guy. Here is Mark Stein, and he's here to tell you all about our weekend music show. Hey, this is Mark Stein. On the town this week, songs across a century, songs around the world, from the continent and from the Commonwealth. We'll count down a cavalcade of Australian number ones, and we'll look at Sinatra down under, very down under, but on top of the world too. On the town, Saturday at 5 on Serenade Radio. Yeah, and 5 p.m. London time is 6 p.m. in Western Europe, or 12 midday North American Eastern. Mark Stein, live around the planet. It's 4:15 Eastern time. That's 8:45 Greenwich Mean Time. A little behind, a lot ahead, according to where you chance to be on this turbulent earth. Let's get back. I got nothing to say. Let's get back to your questions. Arnold says, looking at the past 2 days, I start believing God looked down at Trump 1.0 and saw it wasn't good enough. So he took away his presidency and put him through 4 years of purification. Let's pray Trump 2.0 will be to the Lord's liking and receive his blessings in abundance. Yeah, that's not a bad word, but I don't think it was God who took away his presidency. I think it was actually the Democrats who took away his presidency. But I think it has been good. I mean, this was even the things that there's so much going on that very little of it individually there's been much of a focus on, but just pulling, I mean, the Paris Climate Accord, he pulled America out of last time round. But just actually saying, nah, World Health Organization, nah, we're done with that. We're done with that. There's a lot of good things in there, and I do believe this has the possibility of being a really consequential presidency. That reverses things significantly. Because as I said, it is the last chance. It's the last chance in Canada. It's the last chance in Britain. It's the last chance in a lot of places. And so, and as we've seen with the Bureau of Prisons, DC branch and elsewhere, refusing to honour Trump's pardons, there's going to be, and that's insurrection, by the way, if you want insurrection, to disobey a direct order from the head of the executive branch, there's going to be that on all fronts. And the good news is, I mean, I was actually amazed. I was thinking, oh, you know, they're just going to say, no, we're not, we don't recognize these pardons. But no, Trump actually was serious about letting these guys know that there would be consequences if they, so okay, they got to strut and pose for another 24 or 48 hours, but in fact Trump seems to have, I mean, he's mixing with a much smarter a class of people than he was doing in 2020, and I think that's great, and I like it. Keith Farrell says Trump was doing ever so well, and then Larry Ellison mentioned mRNA. Did he catch Trump unaware, or are we seeing why Gates was at Mar-a-Lago? I'm sure Hugo Keith KC can smooth it over. This is this thing. I think it's a cancer drug, is it, that also uses mRNA? Big Pharma is a thing, you know. Big Pharma corrupts government and it corrupts the media. What's interesting when we were all talking about China, you'd think if China, in the old days, we'd have thought if China, or actually even the Soviet Union in the Cold War, that if they were going to try to subvert their enemies, they would be looking at infiltrating the CIA, infiltrating the FBI. But no, as we learned, the actual infiltration of the CDC and the National Institutes of Health has worked out more effective for them. And actually, it makes a lot of sense. If you can make people chronically sick, they can't fight a war against you, particularly if all the medicines they need for all these chronic ailments are all made in China. So this idea, you know, a doctor said this to me. I think it was the last time I was in London for that awful court hearing. But a eminent doctor said that the whole COVID experience had just made him very wary of these guys in practice. I mean, these guys, you know, just to go back to that RFK thing, on his first appearance on our show, he pointed out that because he was friends with Roger Ailes. I'm not sure quite why. I think it was something to do with the theatre, because Roger was a big Broadway investor and things. I think it was that. Something, anyway. And Roger said he wasn't going to have RFK Jr. on talking about his children's health campaign, because in non-election years, 76% of Fox's advertising comes from Big Pharma. That's very unusual. You don't see that in other... I think the only other country anyone knows about, it may be true in Burkina Faso or whatever, I don't claim to know that, but among Western nations, the only other one where you have this kind of advertising is New Zealand. You know, this thing where they say, you know, talk to your doctor if you experience mild side effects such as slightly increased flatulence and blah, 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 and fatal heart attack. You know, that thing they do it in the speeded up voice. You don't see that in any other country. You don't see these ads in any other Western country except for New Zealand. And things like that... you can take what used to be the, oh, well, that's because we're pioneering all the great innovative drugs. Yeah, well, they're so innovative that because the vaccines for the COVID were mandated by government and not by private companies, they didn't have to have those things saying it may cause mild flatulence and all the rest of it. They didn't have to do any of that. Instead, you'd just see Justin Trudeau and Joe Biden with their sleeves rolled up once every 2 weeks getting the latest booster shot because it was a general government mandated thing. And I think that's one of the things that's changed. They still have these things. In the official position of the United States government is that everybody over 6 months old, don't give it. I don't care if you've got a six-month-old kid or a 38 years and six-month-old kid. Don't have them get these boosters. They're young people, not in any danger from COVID, but they are in danger of things like myocarditis. As I said, the hardest thing... So people will keep taking these boosters because it's far right to be anti-booster. I don't want to be with those conspiracy theorists, so I'm now getting boosted once every week and a half. That'll show them. It's the hardest thing in the world to get people admit they were suckered. Thérèse Maupin, that's a very mellifluous name, says, phony baloney is the perfect description of not only the COVID inquiry, but for the past decade overall. However, you are being gracious by sounding a little G-rated. I have no problem moving into the X-rated category. I don't really want to do that. I did it. Was it last week? I was saying, oh, I don't usually work blue this early in the day or whatever. I don't really want, I feel there's a bit too much of that. I don't like my whole approach to when I used to guest host for Rush and Tucker and all the rest of it, was I always felt you should know something. If you were listening, you should know something new that you hadn't known when you began listening to the show. And I'm a lot of the X-rated swearing seems to come at the expense of any, not just new insights, but just new facts in general. In regard to the MSN, says Teresa, evil comes to mind because they know they are not being objective and truthful. Consequences be damned. Well, they're not going to change. You know, the Nazi stuff didn't work for them. And by the way, the Nazi stuff, I can't, it's so trivializing for people who actually know what a Nazi is. My mum did. She wasn't, you know, terribly political. Towards the end of her life, the doctor was sort of tap dancing around, trying to figure out whether she was losing it a bit mentally. So he asked like the standard questions, like, who's the prime minister? And she said, you know, that wanker. Which is a great answer. She knew what Nazis were because she lost her childhood. She grew up, her childhood was spent under Nazi occupation, right? So she goes out, she goes for a walk with her sister or with her friend around St. Niklaus in Belgium, and they've got the Gestapo in the town. She knows what a Gestapo officer's uniform is like because they're in the streets. So this is trivializing, and it's just parochial wankery, which I can't stand. And it didn't work last time, and it's not going to work this time. And yet they did it on day one with Elon Musk. CNN, and by the way, CNN is evil. Don't forget, CNN was tipped off about that raid on, the Trump guy on his house? I've forgotten who it was now. The Trump guy's house. And CNN gets tipped off, so they're waiting there as the FBI or whoever it was arrived to kick the door down and drag the wife out in her nightgown. Roger Stone. Just disgraceful. And CNN lies to its audience. Oh, we just happened to be there by coincidence. We just happened to be staking out that street by coincidence. That's their official explanation for it. They're in on the game. They're also gauleiters of the totalitarian state, because if they had any commitment to journalism, they wouldn't be doing it. It's the same thing with the BBC when they had helicopters over Cliff Richard's house because they'd been tipped off by the dirty, stinking, rotten, corrupt Brit wanker coppers. There's a lot of that around. And this time round, on day one, they decided that Elon Musk, you know, they just caught him freeze frame as he's waving his arms around. And they say, oh, he was doing a Nazi salute. He wasn't doing a Nazi salute. As I said, I didn't hear a lot about it, but if I ever asked my mother about it, she'd be happy to talk to me about it. And she had the Gestapo in her town. She knew what a real Nazi. I don't want CNN telling me that Elon Musk is a Nazi. They don't know anything about Nazis. Nobody watches them. Are they still in the crappy airports? That's the only time anyone watches Wolf Blitzer, is when your flight's delayed 6 hours and you've got nothing to look at except 6 hours of Wolf bloody Blitzer on CNN. I don't even know. There's no point. I'm not going to talk about whether Elon Musk is a Nazi or not. It's not a good faith argument. It's an argument about people who just... The whole point about the media is to stop you... Like, I talk about demography. I'm a demography bore. Because demography matters. You know, if you let your towns become semi-Islamic over the course of a generation, that matters. But Elon Musk, you want to talk for days about Elon Musk, whether he gave a... It's not a good faith argument. Somebody, you know, at some point people... You either have to switch the sets off totally, or you know, if you take these guys seriously, wait for them outside the front door or the back door to the parking lot. And ask these chumpies whether they really believe that. They can't. They know they don't. We've just had CNN's just having to give, just been found liable for whatever it is, $5 million for a conscious stitch-up they did on some guy. You know, and they're now worried about disinformation. He's got plenty of money. Elon Musk. So he could easily, it wouldn't go anywhere in the end, but he could easily just tie him up in legal expenses. Nobody watches these things. And don't get suckered into playing along with them. I like the one where the guy, oh, you know who else was a Nazi? Superman, because he always flies through the sky. With it, because you look, if you think of it from the comic book artist's point of view, he would look stupid, Superman, flapping his arms like a bird. So he always flies with one arm outstretched, like he's doing the full Heil Hitler. Don't get into arguments with people who don't make good faith arguments, which is CNN, which is ABC, which is CBS, which is NBC, which is the whole dirty, stinking, rotten lot of them. Chris Davis says, Mark, I hope you are well. A Steinian quote of the day, quote, Britain is approaching the end point. Trump should steer well clear of these guys, unquote. Is there any hope for the UK? If not, have you room for a few Brits in New Hampshire? New Hampshire. There was talk one time of having a New Hampshire cricket team. And, you know, we found there was me and there was an Indian doctor somewhere in southern New Hampshire and there was an Australian. And we sort of finally came up with 11 and we thought that was great. We've got enough. And then we realized, oh, wait a minute. We need a second team for us to have somebody to play. Other than enough... enough Commonwealth citizens for two cricket teams. I don't know about how many Brits you can have in New Hampshire. Look, I'm being serious, though. I am staggered at how... this is, again, where the mainstream media in Fleet Street, and actually including GB News, was all wrong. Because their whole thing was, I didn't know Keir Starmer... I wasn't working in the UK media as he rose to glory. I knew nothing about him. And so all the Brit media said, oh, he's just so bland and boring. He's not bland and boring. He's evil and totalitarian. As I said, he killed Peter Lynch. There's no reason for Peter Lynch to have gone to jail except that Keir Starmer instructed his goons... that tweeters and Facebookers who had given a more accurate representation of who and what killed those little girls than Starmer. Don't forget all this stuff that's come out about this guy, that he, including his attendance at mosque in prison, but the fact that he had, like, the Al-Qaeda handbook, he had a ricin lab in his house and all this was known within hours of those girls being stabbed. But Keir Starmer sat on it because it was more important to him to get tweeters and Facebookers whose characterization of the incident, that it was, in fact, an act of Islamic terrorism, was more correct than the characterization put over by the police and Keir Starmer and all the rest, that it was this Welsh boyo, Christian from Rwanda. I've no idea. By the way, his parents, I believe, arrived in the United Kingdom in 2003. This guy killed like one of his neighbor's cats with the ricin. This guy went to the school multiple, his old school multiple times. This guy was referred to prevent multiple times. And here's the thing. It's not a story about him stabbing the little girls, because he's pleaded guilty to that. It's a story about His Majesty's government lying to the people about it. And that's extraordinary, because it ties in with the so-called grooming gangs, and it ties in with the COVID vaccines. But this is a particularly stuff. These little girls were stabbed to death, and you, Keir Starmer, lied about it for months on end, you filthy creep. I don't know what, as I said about Olaf, I have to be a bit careful here. I don't think anything will change until, the Afghan or the Somali or the whatever he is manages to stab Olaf Scholz while walking in the park. I'm not saying I am urging any Afghan or Somali to stab him. I'm simply saying that this decayed, decadent ruling class thinks it has insulated itself from the pathologies that, oh, it's only white working class girls being gang raped and anally branded. By the way, under Ofcom, I don't think you can say, hey, what are we in London right now? Oh, it's coming up to 9 o'clock. Maybe you can say it after the watershed in the United Kingdom, but I don't think you can even say what's happened to these girls before the watershed in the UK. Oh, it's only white working class girls who are being gang raped. So celebrate diversity. Oh, it's only these three little girls at a Taylor Swift dance class who are being stabbed. You're just going to, it's all part and parcel of living in a big city. That's what Sadiq Khan says. If you get blown up on London Bridge, if the guy who aced the de-radicalization program goes to a party to celebrate acing the de-radicalization program and kills people at the party, which has actually happened, but you can't talk about it. No. This is disinformation. I'm perfectly clear. I want an end. No first world country needs mass migration. They don't. And the whatever reason you bring it, I've written about this at length. You know, you bring them in because, we need people to be our bus drivers and factory workers. That's what they said in Yorkshire. We need people to come in and be to work in the mills. Well, the mills all closed and the people you brought in stayed. So you've now got all the mosques. There's no more mills, but you've got all the mosques. And then now nobody even bothers with the economic arguments now. You know, I saw the BBC did when they were trying to paint Trump as racist. People don't care about things like that. In New Hampshire, unless you've got a hospital or a college, every town without a hospital or a college is Deadsville. Right? This idea, there's nothing, oh, what am I going to do? I'm going to do the night shift at the quickie crap, or I'm going to open a meth lab where you meet a more interesting class of people. You guys have spent two generations destroying the most evolved countries in human history. And people are going to have to get, I don't believe, people are now sure, the Tories were crap, so I voted for Labour because I thought, well, Labour at least won't be quite as crap as the Tories. It's not going to be solvable through normal political means. In the end, I'm not even sure it's solvable through, you know, people make jokes about how Gandhi's, you know, Gandhi had it easy because he was up against British civil servants. Well, British civil servants are far more evil than they were in his day, and far more corrupt than they were in his day. So I'm not even sure Gandhi style, oh, you know, civil disobedience. I think it's going to have to take more. I think it's going to have to take more than that. I think it's some, I don't think governments, a government that throws you into jail for your tweet is not a government that can command the respect and loyalty of the people. You know, it's never over. The thing about it, Chris, is it's never over till it's over. History is not made. It's not a... In the end, the people destroying your country have to realize that they're facing people who love it as much as they wish to destroy it. And they have to behave like that. And the what passes for the feeble right of centre press in Fleet Street or in broadcasting is insufficient to the hour, which is one reason why this particular tale for our time, Lord of the World, Robert Hugh Benson, we'll have another episode of that a little later coming up. That's actually, you know, it's... You have to understand that this is an existential fight. Britain is turning into something other before your eyes. We've seen, you know, among those protests, I don't know whether they all went to prison, but that site outside a mosque in Belfast where people were standing side by side waving both Union flags and the Irish tricolour. It's like amazing. It turns out the answer to the Irish question is dumping loads of Somalis or Albanians or Afghans on your country. But those guys, you know, loyalists and Republican, in the scheme of things, they might hate each other. But, you know, they're not killing two-year-olds for going on a walk in the park. They haven't made that routine. And so there was some... What I liked about that image was that it showed, yeah, this is an existential threat to the society you live in. Act as if it is. Act as if it is. Do you know, in the House of Commons today, these MPs filed an early day motion, as they say in Parliament, over the fact that there are insufficient lady footballers on children's birthday cards. So they feel there are too many male footballers, and instead there should be lady footballers represented on children. They filed... All these MPs signed it and filed an early day motion so that the government can take some sort of action about that. While little girls are getting stabbed. The little girls are dead, so they'll never see another birthday and see the lady footballer on the birthday card, you sick creeps. And I have to be very careful. I'm not saying you should storm the Palace of Westminster, drag those MPs out and hang them from lampposts in Parliament Square. I'm not saying that. It would be a very bad thing for me to incite that. But there are moments, I have to confess, when the British political class, doesn't matter whether you're talking about the German political class or the French political class or the American political class, because to one degree or another, they are not adequate to the moment. Bill Holcomb says, do you see any chance that the Trump wrinkle in the cosmos could ripple eastward into the UK and other Western European countries? Or is the lockdown on free expression there too tight to allow the emergence of a populist counterculture leader? Would be interesting to see some MIMGA hats make imperialist monarchies great again, says Bill. I'm not even sure that the fact is that we had some comments about people said, well, I'd be more comfortable if it was Trumpism without Trump, you know, because even at this site, there are people who feel they don't really like Trump's tone and all the rest of it. Trump was the only size of guy in 2016 capable. You know, when he came down, he said, Mexico's not sending its best. And he started talking about rapists and all the rest of it. And, you know, Macy's was outraged and ceased selling Trump ties and all the rest of it. And Karl Rove said, well, what we really need is someone who can talk about it in a more inclusive tone. The fact is, you had to have the size of Trump. And Trump, in that sense, is unique. It's not just that he's unique in America, he's unique anywhere. And they've made him even more unique just in what they've done to him. You know, whether you're talking about all these criminal convictions or the bullet in his ear. And I don't, the question people talk about, you know, people were pleased with, let's just say, is that guy, whichever, who I've forgotten now, who was suggesting that if it was better that Trump had lost in 2020. Well, let's just suppose he'd won in 2020. Mike Pence would have just lost the 2024 presidential election. That's the problem, is that there was no heir to Trump. When people tried running on Trump-like things, they got destroyed. It was very difficult to transfer Trumpism to anyone other than Trump, and certainly not with Mike Pence. The question then began, and it may be with J.D. Vance all very different in 4 years' time. But you need someone. I mean, I'm trying to imagine who would be a Canadian Trump or an Irish Trump or an Australian Trump, and it's very difficult. It's very difficult to see how that would work out. I mean, I agree that, you know, if you're interested in Trumpism without Trump, then the phenomenon, I mean, for example, the Swedes, nobody really pays any attention to anything they do, but they've managed to, promoting themselves as, what was it they were doing a couple of years ago? The world's first feminist government. I mean, parties of people you've never heard of, but who can move the ball are very good. I mean, Trump, you need Trump in America because there's Trump, and then the party, the Republican Party, even though it's been Trumpified, is full of totally useless people. So I think that's still an open question, Bill. But I certainly don't view the loss of these countries as a small thing. I don't view the Sadiq Khanization of the entire United Kingdom as a small thing. I mean, these are going to be extremely bad, and they're going to make operating in the remnants of the West, they're going to make operating in a shrinking Western world. Again, it's one of the themes of Our Tale for Our Time, you know, post-Christendom. I will be back with that tale, Robert Hugh Benson's Lord of the World, in a couple of hours. Meanwhile, do stick with Stein Online for our regular Thursday date with Laura's Links, Laura Rosen-Cohen. We'll round up the internet as only she can. And if you're still toying with the pros and cons of joining the Mark Stein Club, come on in. The water's fine and we're ahead of the game on a lot of stuff. And don't forget our cruise sailing from Portugal in April, and with our favourite Samanthas on board, Sammy Woodhouse and Samantha Smith. Survivors of the great scourge that the contemptible Keir Starmer is not prepared to tell the truth about. Stay safe, stay free, stay well.
Mark Stein's Clubland Q&A is a production of Mark Stein Enterprises and Oak Hill Media. All rights reserved.